Discussions continue at the state capitol over whether to expand civil rights protections offered by Michigan's Elliott Larson Law. That's the landmark 1976 measure, which explicitly banned discrimination in the state based on religion, race, national origin, age, sex, height, weight, familial, and marital status. Several factions have emerged. Democrats and some Republicans appear to be united behind an expansion that would protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons. Some other Republicans favor a measure that would not include trans persons but include the others. Many Republicans remain opposed to any expansion of Elliott Larson. And there's been a call by Speaker Jace Bolger to pass a religious freedom measure he says is needed to balance any expansion of Elliott Larson. We're going to hear today from two supporters of the more far-reaching measure. Democratic State Representative Adam Zemke represents the 55th House District, which includes Ann Arbor. Welcome, Adam. And Amy Hunter also joins us. Amy is a political strategist with the group Equality Michigan and a transgender woman from Kalamazoo. Welcome, Amy. Adam Zemke, last week discussions were continuing along these several fronts. As we sit here on Monday morning, where does this debate stand? Has anything happened in just the last couple of days?
No, I'm saddened to say that that nothing has improved in the last couple of days. As you noted in your intro, the entire Democratic caucus in the House is committed to inclusion of anti-discriminatory protections for the LGBT community. Very, very small number of Republicans are with us on that, and then another very small number are still supportive of the LGB bill introduced by Representative Foster. And you know, what we hear more and more is that still the vast majority of the Republican caucus remains completely opposed to any discussions of adding this community into the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Law.
I'm curious to hear from both of you how you think it is that transgender people have become the focus of this debate. What does that mean?
Transgender people are probably the least well-known out of the, you know, the least visible out of the LGBT spectrum. And part of that is because there is so much discrimination against our community that a lot of us just aren't willing to be visible. The risks sometimes can't be worth it. And that's one of the reasons that these protections are so important here in Michigan.
And Adam, Democrats are basically united on this. There's really no factions amongst the Democrats.
Yeah, it's a core Democratic principle that no one should be discriminated against. And so we are supportive of the inclusion of all persons, regardless of differences, under the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act.
There are federal protections that are being brought up here, federal protections for transgender workers who have been fired because of their gender identity. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission ruled 2 years ago that gender identity is a form of sex discrimination, which is prohibited by the 64 Civil Rights Law. The Elliott Larson Law also includes language prohibiting sex discrimination. Why do you think it's still important to explicitly include protections for transgender people in this law?
So it's it's very important because for two reasons. One, there are far more. The EEOC decision that's being referenced here is one decision there that has been described to include transgender individuals under the sex discrimination portion of Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. There are far many more decisions that have been ruled on that say that transgender individuals are not covered or are not explicitly covered. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that the EEOC decision is not binding in Michigan. And that's really what's important here. So in Michigan, to ensure anti-discrimination protections for individuals, we passed the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act. Mm. That is a very clear message to employers, organizations, and individuals that as to who and for what reasons you cannot deny services or housing to individuals for. It's very clear for all the enumerated groups that are contained in Elliott Larson right now. This would be the next step for the LGBT community. It'd be very clear.
We're talking today about the move to expand coverage of the state's Elliott Larson anti-discrimination law to the LGBT population here in our state. Our guests are State Rep. Adam Zemke of Ann Arbor, along with Amy Hunter, a political strategist and a transgender woman from Kalamazoo. Amy, let's talk about your experience a bit. You transitioned to being a woman in 2006. Have you experienced the kind of discrimination that you think would be addressed by expanding Elliott Larson?
Absolutely. I will start off by saying that I'm very fortunate that I've not been fired or denied employment. I've had a couple instances since I transitioned where, for instance, I had a tree service that refused to do work out at my house when we had some storm damage. But I work with, on a regular basis, people that suffer these types of discriminations. In fact, I had a conversation last night with a very accomplished transgender woman who was fired from her job at a state institution of higher learning, and she has now filed an EEOC claim to attempt to get some relief, but that process is so long and so arduous, and there's no guaranteed outcome. That's precisely why this needs to be codified in statute here in Michigan.
Also, House Speaker Jace Bolger supports a religious freedom measure that he says would need to be passed before he could support an expansion of Elliott Larson. Representative Zemke, what's your understanding of what's in this measure?
So the religious freedom measure that is being discussed is known as a RFRA, RFRA, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it's modeled after legislation that was passed by the Congress in the early 1990s. And declared by the Supreme Court in the late 1990s as being unconstitutional as it applies to state and local governments. And the reason it was declared unconstitutional and the reason it's a really bad thing is because it really is a license to discriminate. It allows for virtually any organization or individual to claim that any government regulation violates their religious beliefs. And I'll give you an example of this. There have been many examples. There have been cases where local zoning ordinances have been challenged under the RFRA claim. There have been cases where historic preservation laws have been challenged under the RFRA claims. There have even been cases where prisoners have challenged prison regulation, claiming that certain prison regulations are a violation of their religious rights. Mm. The protections for religious freedom are enumerated under the L.A. Larson Civil Rights Act. As I said before, we protect against anti-discrimination in Michigan by enumerating a group under the L.A. Larson Civil Rights Act. Those protections are already covered.
Is it your understanding that if Representative Bolger got the religious freedom measure, that he would support an LGBT measure or simply an LGB measure, some kind of measure?
I think that what the speaker has discussed is that in order for the discussion on the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act to include the LGB protections, then we need to have a RFRA bill as well in Michigan. And as I said, the RFRA bill extends far beyond any sort of religious anti-discrimination measures.
But if it boiled down to accepting a religious freedom measure, could you be persuaded to do that if that were the only way to pass any kind of measure?
As I said, religious freedom is already enumerated under the L.A. Larson Civil Rights Act.
Amy, tell us more about yourself here. How did becoming a woman change you, apart from physically or anatomically? How did you view yourself after your transition?
Well, I'll rewind just a bit. I always understood myself to be a woman, and then I went through the process of social, legal, and physical transition about 8 years ago. And what I think the primary benefit for me there was that I could live an authentic existence, and I felt free to be able to contribute as my real self. I was always held back prior to transition. Extending protections for the transgender community will ensure that we're free to really contribute up to our potential.
You are married and have kids. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, I'm married to a wonderful woman. We were married prior to me transitioning. And frankly, she didn't have a clue. So it was quite a process for her to come to terms with being married to a woman. And she embraced it fully. It took a while. I think it was a pretty heavy lift for Cindy. It exploded a lot of the social constructs that she had about what made a relationship good, what made a marriage, and about intimacy and things like that. And I think what she ultimately arrived at was that she loved me. She loved the person that I always was. And in fact, I believe our marriage was enhanced by that.
Your wife had identified as straight all of her life then?
Yes.
Okay. And she no longer identifies as straight.
I think that if you asked her, she would say, I'm Amy identified. In fact, one of her very first questions to me was, you know, after sort of no discussion for a couple of days after I first came out, was she looked at me and she said, you know, I'm still attracted to you and I still love you. Does that mean I'm a lesbian? And I was stunned by that question, but it led to a lot of great discussion about the nature of love and how that interacts with physical and sexual intimacy.
Would suggest that gender identity is fluid. I mean, would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and I think for some people, so is your sexual orientation.
Back to the legislation here. Adam Zemke, are lesbian, gay, and bisexual people aligning with the transgender population on this? Is that your understanding? And Amy, I want you to follow up with that too.
It's our understanding from the legislative perspective that the entire LGBT community is united in this, and they're united in support of the entire community. And
looking at the numbers here, I mean, the GOP already enjoys majorities in both chambers of the legislature, and there will even be a few more Republicans in the House starting in January. Does that add urgency to this situation now? Does it mean you need to pass something during lame duck?
I don't think it means that we need to pass something that allows for discrimination against any portion of any community. Based on time constraints. If you look at historically, civil rights protection for the LGB community, Wisconsin was the first state to pass these provisions, and they passed something like 30 years ago. And still today, I believe, there's no protections for the transgender community in Wisconsin. And so we're committed as Democrats to making sure that all individuals are free from discrimination. And we're going to make sure that however that is necessary, we do it.
Some LGBT advocates say they're already looking into a petition drive and a possible ballot proposal to put the issue on the ballot, I beg your pardon, in 2016 if Elliot Larson doesn't include gender identity and expression. Do you think that would make including protections for transgender people harder or easier?
I think that leaving any portion of a community out softens the argument for including protections for all persons within that community. I want to emphasize that the LGBT community is a community. Whenever you discuss protections for that community, it's enumerated as one acronym. It's not an LGB acronym. Those of us who have worked with the community to ensure equal opportunity and equal access have always referred to it as one community because that's what that community refers to itself as. And so I think that any conversation about splitting apart the community really doesn't get to the heart of what anti-discrimination is it's needed.
If it unfolds that a measure only covering LGBs that left out the trans population, if only that measure were to come up for a vote, you would vote no?
I think, yes, that is absolutely correct. And the reason is because leaving out one portion of the community allows for discrimination of that portion of the community, and that's wrong.
Did either of you see this coming? and by that I mean the transgender population, becoming the center of this discussion. Did you anticipate that, Amy?
Well, what we know from you know, historically, the transgender community is sort of the easy target here, and legislation at all levels, we become the political football. And it's a cynical tactic that gets used by the opponents of non-discrimination protections, and we're an easy target. We don't have the voice or the resources behind the transgender segment of the LGBT community. So
we were discussing this on our staff last week, and we got into this theoretical discussion. For every transgender person, how many lesbian, gay, and bisexual people are there? There must be, I would assume there are hundreds. I mean, just in terms of the numbers.
Well, the numbers of trans people that are out there, are the estimates are probably low. Documentation has been historically hard to do because we're such a hidden community, mm-hmm. because we are so easily discriminated against.
Mm-hmm. What lay ahead here, Adam? Are you generally optimistic or pessimistic?
Well, you know, I have to say that my opinion has changed somewhat since we first started these discussions.
How?
You know, when we first started the discussion, I'm in my first term in the legislature. We started discussing adding the LGBT community to the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act probably well over a year ago, and we had some support at that time from Representative Foster, in fact, and now, you know, as this discussion has continued to go on, and the coalition of community and business leaders that are supporting the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act.
It's important to note the business community is increasingly behind this.
That's right. And it's also very important to note that the business community is increasingly behind a all-inclusive bill mm-hmm. to support the entire community. And that's because they see leaving off a portion of the community as allowing discrimination. So my conversations, originally, we were never discussing a RFRA bill because religious freedom is covered under Elliott Larson. Currently, we were never discussing splitting apart the community because it is one community, and the support from the community, from community organizations and business leaders, has always been to support the entire community. So now, as the legislation has progressed and the introduction of the two bills just this last week, we're not. We're now debating these issues. And so I would have to say that my notions are becoming somewhat more pessimistic.
Adam Zemke is the Democratic State Representative from the 55th House District, which includes Ann Arbor. We want to also thank Amy Hunter, a political strategist with the group Equality Michigan, and a transgender woman from Kalamazoo. Many thanks.